When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to this week's Ask Alice. Now, I probably say this every week, but I feel like this was a really good question and one that I feel I can definitely offer some good advice on. So someone wrote in to me and said, how do I become a good PT? Do the course and keep learning, but how? And I feel like this was a question that I remember asking probably about 7 or 8 years ago. I had 10 years ago, I qualified as a personal trainer and I was freshly in the industry. And I remember feeling this like immense pressure to suddenly know everything and be the best trainer and be super qualified. And so I absolutely understand that the fitness industry is booming, which means that there are more and more people training to be personal trainers. And it's becoming harder to cut through the noise and to, I guess, know also who to trust for information and who to replicate in terms of careers. So I've tried to distill my advice down into the top line things that I think would be really helpful for you. But I just wanted to start by saying I totally empathize with where you're coming from. And it was definitely a feeling that I had, like I said, 7 or 8 years ago. So when you qualify as a personal trainer, it is a pretty comprehensive course now. I know that some differ from others and there's some that are really thorough and some that are a bit less thorough, but they generally tend to be fairly comprehensive. But that means that at the same time and in the same breath, they're still fairly limited in their scope. And that's because they're not degrees, they're not diplomas. They are often sort of short courses, which are designed to give you the bare bones of the information that you need in order to become a personal trainer, but doesn't give you much more than that. A lot of it is around kind of health and safety and doing no harm when it comes to working with your clients, but it doesn't go much deeper than that top level stuff. I remember in my course, it was so vague and just, yeah, even thinking back to it now, I'm like, I cannot remember a single thing that I really learned on my PT course. And that's because it's almost like when you have a driving instructor. I liken it to that experience of when you're driving with a driving instructor, you've got someone in the car with you telling you what to do and sort of helping you to navigate that learning experience. But the time when you really learn to drive, and my goodness, do I remember the first time I got in my car without a driving instructor, that is when you actually learn to drive, when you actually learn how to put all of the things that you've been taught into place on your own without any help or guidance. And the same can be said for that PT experience. You do your course, you come out of it and you think, right, I'm ready to hit the fitness industry running. But the most important and most valuable time is actually what happens after your PT course, which is when you're on the gym floor, working with clients and getting that experience. So I find that my biggest bit of advice in terms of how to become a good PT always starts with you must have some experience working on a gym floor. And this is for a number of reasons. Firstly, I think it's really important that you're surrounded by coaches that are more experienced than you are. I think if you get your qualification and you go straight to working on your own in a space or working online, you just shut yourself off from being able to have other voices that you can go to for help and advice, or even just seeing how they're training other people. Like, it's so helpful to be on the gym floor and to watch trainers who do things really differently to you, or might have, you know, kind of a skill set that varies from yours that you are able to then learn from. So being on the gym floor offers you two things. That one thing is to be surrounded by coaches who are more experienced than you. And the other is to just get regular clients in. Most gym settings, although I know many differ, have kind of like referral schemes where you'll get certain leads with clients when you start as a new trainer, which is great because you almost have then like a captivated audience of a potential client base that you can reach into and just start to cut your teeth on working with those first clients. Now, a really important thing here is that you must remind yourself that you're not going to be great on day one. And I know that sounds awful to say, but when I think back to my day one of being a PT and working with clients versus where I am now, my goodness, would I have done things differently if I went back and did it again? But that is how we learn. You have to make the mistakes. You have to muddle your way through those first months and years of trialing stuff, working on things, and also understanding how to work with a client, developing that ability to, you know, use that client relationship to shape how you then train people, developing the communication skills in order to get that buy-in with your client, being able to cue properly with people that might have zero proprioception versus people who have loads of proprioception. So there are so many things that I think come from those early months and even years of being a trainer that I think are so much better had on a gym floor. I would say as well, in my experience, I remember, so my first job working as a trainer was at a gym called Lomax. And I'll never forget, because I actually shouted him out recently, there was a coach there called Jordan, who was at the time doing his degree in sports science at Queen Mary's University. And I remember me sort of like seeing how he was training his clients and also seeing that a lot of the time he'd be studying and he'd have these kind of textbooks and stuff. And I became fascinated by the fact that he was on this like incredible journey of learning and I wanted in. And so what I said to him was, I was like, look, this might seem a bit kind of forward, but I can see that you're doing all this studying. And whilst I'm not in a position right now to do a degree, I'd love to maybe learn some things from you or help you learn. And so we ended up becoming like study buddies, which sounds really cringe. But as a PT, you sometimes have big gaps in your day. So you might do the morning rush where you have 3, 4, 5 clients, and then you definitely get busier again in the evening. But sort of during the middle of the day, you can get a bit quieter, which meant that we had time to be able to like go off. And I remember like we would go through different anatomy and physiology things or different protocols for training. And I learned so much from him. And I really credit him with a lot, especially early on in my career, of being someone who was just like, I can see that this girl wants to learn and she's really keen to. I'm a bit further ahead than her. So I'm going to help her to kind of get a little bit further along than where she is. And I honestly, like I said, I valued it so much. And I really think that that wouldn't have happened if I was just working on my own or, you know, working in a studio where there aren't many PTs around. I think there's something to be said for going to a commercial gym, being around lots of different trainers, seeing who you think is a great trainer. And that might be for different reasons, right? Different trainers are great for different reasons. So I remember when I came to work at Third Space, there was such a variety of trainers there and all different in their ways and all good, but for different reasons. So there was someone who was like the drill sergeant, you know, his whole shtick was that he was a shouter and he was like, we're going to do this. And like, he was very loud and dynamic. And some people loved that. Then you'd have someone like Luke Worthington, who was very niche in his sort of approach with PRI and a lot of kind of much more high level stuff that was very applicable to people who had contraindications or were a little bit more kind of niche in their understanding of fitness and what they wanted. Then you had someone like Andy, who was super qualified and had a very gentle approach and was great with working with both men and women. And then you had someone like James Ralph, who I worked with, who now works with like professional footballers, and his whole thing was power and speed and working on those things with his clients. So there were so many different people that were good at different things. So I just think that it's important, going back to my original point, that you get yourself amongst people who are all different in their ways, but all good, and then start to pick out like, oh, that trainer's doing something really cool with that person. And I really like that. So, you know, when they have a moment, I'm going to grab them and say, look, I was really interested by what you were doing with your client. Can I ask you a couple of questions about that? Because I'm really keen to learn more. And that is how you get good as a trainer. Like, that is how you pick up these bits of information from different people that start to shape and color how you then train as a personal trainer. And I think that's really crucial. The next thing that I wanted to say is really about not needing to know it all. And I had a long conversation with Andy about this recently. Like, I haven't done a course in quite a while. I used to be like, sort of a couple of years ago, especially during lockdown, coming out of lockdown, I was very busy doing courses and expanding my knowledge. I flew to Amsterdam to do like a weekend course in this. I did stuff with British weightlifting. Like, I was hungry to learn. So I was always booking onto things and trying to expand my knowledge. And that's really good, by the way. I definitely think you should be doing that. So looking for courses that feel, you know, relevant to your journey and what you want to do as a coach. But I also think that there's a point where you just need to find your thing and become really, really good at that thing. And I think what I mean by that is there are so many different ways to practice. As I just said about the third space, why I use that example is like James realized that power and speed development was his thing. And so he was like, I'm going to go all in, toes deep. I'm going to be that guy. Luke was like, PRI is my thing. That's going to be my thing as a trainer. And that's going to be my niche. I'm going to go all in on that. And so I think it is now, you know, you said, how do I kind of keep going and keep learning? It's about what most interests you right now. Are you going to be a female fat loss coach? Cool, fine. Really nail that kind of protocol and what's needed to be that coach. Are you more interested in sport-specific stuff? You know, maybe you've come from a professional sport and so you really want to work with people from that background. Great, learn about that. Like, don't try and be Mrs. Generic. I know you're a woman actually because you sent me in the question yourself. So I'm going to say, don't try and be Mrs. Generic. Be Mrs. Specific. Find your thing, work on it, and really focus on that being how you're going to coach. And then it helps you to clarify when it comes to doing courses or comes to progressing your skill set, you're much clearer on what's relevant to you and what's applicable to you as a coach versus maybe what's not relevant right now. And those things might change. Like I said, you know, I had this long conversation with Andy and he's gone on so many courses and done so many things. And he's now at a point where he's like, I just need to have a breather from learning because it can get a bit too much and you can almost get so much information that you become a bit overloaded with it. So our whole job as trainers is to implement what we learn, right? We have to work with clients to implement the things that we learn in order to make a difference to their lives. If you're overwhelmed with information, if you're constantly feeling as though you don't know enough, you're not going to have that like toolbox of things that you're constantly implementing and working on in order to get better at them, because you're constantly going to be changing them and thinking, oh, I should be doing this, oh, I should be doing that, oh, but this person's doing it that way, maybe I should do it that way. It really can distract you from just nailing the kind of coach that you want to be and working on the skill set that you think is necessary for you to be the coach that you want to be. So again, just a little recap, because I love a recap at the end of these. I think get yourself on a gym floor, hopefully in a commercial gym, surrounded by coaches who are more advanced than you are or who are further along in their journey than you are, so that you can learn from them. And you can also get client leads so that you can start working with lots of different people. The next thing is to really make sure that you are deciding the kind of coach that you want to be and the kind of niche that you want to carve for yourself. Remind yourself that you don't need to know everything. You are not expected to come out of that PT qualification, being a total expert in fitness. In fact, I don't really believe in there being experts. We are constantly, constantly learning. There is always new information, new research. There are things coming out all the time that are going to shape and color how you practice as a coach throughout your lifetime. So just be aware of that. Don't feel that you have to know everything and be comfortable that you have enough knowledge to practice safely and you're going to accumulate knowledge as you go. It doesn't have to be that you know everything at the start in order for you just to get going. And then finally, I would also say like enjoy what you do. If you get so wrapped up in feeling like you're not good enough and you don't know enough, and believe me, like I was in this place. I remember when I started as a coach, I was working in a gym where I was like one of two women who were on the gym floor. And I also found that it was incredibly misogynistic to start with. I had so much, not backlash is the wrong word, but I remember feeling very uncomfortable in the environment which I was working in for the first few years because I was this young girl who came in with a social media following and who was trying to be a good PT. And it got people's back up. And I remember feeling really uncomfortable until Andy, God love him, took me under his wing and became my mentor. Like it was awful. So yeah, just like back yourself, know that you're good enough and know that you are going to flourish into being an amazing coach and just have the confidence to start and to always use the phrase like do no harm, but also like you're going to make mistakes and learn along the way. And that is part of becoming a great coach. So I hope that was helpful and please do check in with me and let me know how you're getting on. All right, guys, I will be back on Wednesday for my next episode and I'll be back on Friday for my next Ask Alice. If you have a question that you would love to send in, you can find the email in the show notes or you can send me a DM on Instagram. All right, have a great weekend. Bye. Give Me Strength is an Insanity Studios production. The podcast producer is Saffron Mirza, and podcast production assistant is Abby Sandler.